was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome once again to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Lori Anderson. Lori has asked me to do the show for the rest of the week. I will try to do my best to give everybody the best information, and the best information that you're not going to find anywhere else. This is what I endeavor to do. We're going to be joined by Keith Jones tonight. We're also going to get into talking about the self-governing county. The solution is bottom-up. Top-down is, well, let's just say that's not going to be the complete fix. Bottom-up, self-governing county with 4 square miles of land, which is enough to put together. If several neighbors had a decent chunk, you can put together your own county, file your own charter, elect your own constitutional sheriff, and live as free men and women. I'd like to remind people that Tom is still sitting in jail in Lane County, Oregon. He had an appearance yesterday. He was shackled by his hands and his feet as if he were some kind of mass murderer. And of course, that's done to leave a psychological imprint on the judge, the clerk, the bailiff, all the people who witness it through the corporate media, and everybody involved in the system, and everybody in just from the community. Walk away with a mental picture that there's really something wrong with this man, and he's violent, and he must be chained up. Well, they wouldn't do that to him. Why would they chain him if he wasn't dangerous? People are actually stupid enough to believe that the government is well-intentioned and that they're always trying to do the right thing. That happens about 500,000 times. So on that note, I want to remind people that this show stands on Scripture, Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I encourage everybody to realize that this is an activist show. We encourage people to stay involved. The phone numbers we give out are for a good reason. Your voice does matter. Calling the sheriff of Lane County, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, it definitely helps. Calling the vicars definitely helps. They wouldn't have appointed Deacon Walsh over this case to try to make us go away and calm down if we weren't making a significant impact. So we need to make it as clear as possible that we all know the vicars are the men behind the court. The very dictionary definition says vicar, a priest or lay person. That means either in the priesthood or out of it. For a religious corporation who is responsible for impropriating, that means stealing, the principal revenues, which means your money. So once again, a priest or layperson for a religious corporation responsible for impropriating the principal revenues. That's out of the American Heritage Dictionary. That's the dictionary definition. And the the common speak would be, he's your local tax collector for the Vatican, and they do it through the courts. They do it by bonding every case with a performance and payment bond, and you ain't going to hear this anywhere else because the system really doesn't want to go there. And I'm surprised at the amount of other radio presences that won't want to go there either. The vicar manages all these entities, and I want people to realize that calling the vicars definitely helps. It lets them know that we know where the real power lays. And it lays in the Church of Rome, tied together at the hip with the Church of England, since the Oxford Movement of 1833, which sought to unite the Church of Rome with the Church of England. So this has been going on for almost 200 years, with the powers that are controlling this earthly realm, uniting the two most powerful churches in the world together, and combined with the banking establishment of the Rothschilds, who basically do the books and print the currency, they've got it locked up, because once you've got the currency, you've got the multinational corporations, the big blocks of stock in all the media, right on down the line through the financial institutions and the institutions of learning. So we're not pumping out much knowledge other than on the RBN network. And the other truth media operations, I hate to go say it, but they're locked in a very small sliver of a paradigm that doesn't really want to step out and talk about, you know, the really important things here. What are the important things? The big eight, number one. And if these things we all need to change dramatically for the Republic to be resurrected, should they not? If any one of these got left in place and almost all the others went, it would still possibly be enough to keep this republic from ever resurrecting again. And those eight things are seven. I'll try to remember them off my head. I don't have them written down yet. I do it off memory. It's the military-industrial complex. It's the drug war. It's the three-letter agencies perpetuating. It's the Federal Reserve continuing to print our currency instead of Congress. It's avoiding talking about the vicars at all costs. Nobody wants to go there. That's where the power is. It's about claiming society is a victim when we know it's a fictitious entity. This is how the courts are destroying everyone's life. The main crux of the issue is we're allowing the state to claim that the state and corporations are people, and people are animals or fictitious entities, which is just the opposite of reality, and that somehow society can be a victim when it is nothing more than a fictitious entity. And how many crime, Tom LaCavara, for prime example, where is a victim to Tom's crime? There is not one. And finally, I believe this will be the seventh one, make sure the people, if you're the enemy, make sure the title to the properties stay at the county clerk's office and get managed by the local courts and the local sheriffs. We're all tied together into the vicar's office. Nobody's questioning the power structure because they're all making really good money on it. But final scam, hold the title to people's private property, give them a deed, charge them rent, and if they don't pay you rent every year, you come in and steal their private home that's been in their family for decades. How evil is that? In a country that was founded on a tax revolution and private property rights. So those things, and I don't see any of those things going away. I see the military getting bigger. I see the drug war getting more. Jeff Sessions has said he's going to go after all those states that legalized cannabis, where weed is legal now. The government's going to come get you. Worse than it did under Obama. You would have been better off under Obama. If you live in a state and value the freedom to produce and consume and sell cannabis, nobody in the system can show you any evidence of anybody dying from cannabis, unless it was the violence that came out of dealing it, because the government is hunting it, and that makes it illegal, which causes the profits to rise, and every criminal in the world is going to go where the profits are. So as soon as you make some, once again, prohibition doesn't work. This is why we got to get out of it. So those are the big seven or eight things that need to change. Every single one of them has to. If you kept any one of those in place, we'd still be in a slave state. And I don't hear a lot of these fundamental structural changes coming down the pike. So We build from the, we rebuild and resurrect from the bottom up. And on that note, I'm going to bring our bottom-up guy, the connoisseur of the self-governing county himself, Mr. Keith Jones in Kansas. Are you there, Keith?
I'll be here.
All right. Talk with us for a while. I'm going to take a break.
Well, I just like to back up and make a couple comments. A, number one is that if you read your fine print for your loan or for your deed or however you want to say it, for your house, it actually says they're in there that you're only a tenant. So you don't even actually have ownership of the property after you buy it. And that's part of where they get their excuse to charge your property tax at, because you're only a tenant. So you buy your house, you still have to turn around and rent your house or the property after you supposedly supposed to have it. First thing. Second thing is with that, and if you go back and say a law that was put together in 1935, which is the Social Security Act, you'll find that actually when you bought your house, it was already paid for 3 days after you signed the paperwork. That came out of because of your birthright. And so now you paid for your that time, you pay the bank its charge, and then you pay the interest on top of that. So you've actually paid for your house three times. Okay? But there's good news on that front here. Go ahead.
No, I just said at least three times. You're right. Yep. I said, you know, you said three times. I said at least because they're reselling the mortgages and anything they can get your signature on, they sell as a fiduciary instrument. So it's into the millions. But you're right. It's at least three times. Continue, Keith.
So, but there's a good news on the horizon. About 3 weeks ago, we're no longer the United States, quote unquote, country is no longer under the UN Corporation. Oh, now where does that put us? Well, that allows us to go back and be a true republic and also allows us to go back to common law. Now, unfortunately, all our great, outstanding people of police officers and judges and the Congress and all these people, they don't get to hint that well. Okay? The second thing, there was a bill that was passed called H.R. 193, which would allow us to go back to common law and all that stuff as well. Now we have a federal law. Okay? But now we still have a problem, though. The problem was that Lincoln put us under martial law back in 1863. Never rescinded, never lifted. So even though they passed all this, we go back, we actually have to go back to before that. And if you study back far enough, you'll find that the last, we only had three presidents that were actually lawfully and legally seated. So, if we study back, again, the U.S. Constitution is very heavily into the courts, which is from the British side, because that's how they made their money from the get-go. Okay? So we need to go back to the Articles of Confederation and back in that era and law with common law and self-governing, because there was actually self-governing around back for a little over 100 years. There was three types of it. There was British, there was proprietary, and there was charter. Okay? Now, I'm not going to waste my time here on going all three, but I'll just make it real simple. Both British and proprietary would make it that the British would still have their control over us. In other words, we'd be in the same place where we are today. That would be self-governing, but with the British laws and with the British rule for the corporations. The charter allows us to go and separate us from all the rules. And we get to go back how we want to say, give everyone their privileges and their rights. Now, people have to understand the difference between a privilege and a right. And this is something that Eric and I've gotten into some pretty good discussion over. and it's an area that maybe a little bit of a hotbed discussion, but it's still a good example. And that is for people to smoke. Okay? It's your right to smoke. I'm not going to disagree with that. But it's your privilege to be able to go into a private owned business and smoke. And I say that because the private owned person has the right to lay down the rules on his own property.
I agree.
Okay? The other thing we've got to come to and understand that when we do a self-governing county, we become our own entity, and we can, if it's set up correctly, we support ourselves. Now, last time we were here, I barely got out and got into it. I didn't get into all of the other parts, but I'll get into the other things as we go along here a little bit. And that was the fact that we can actually take and make ourselves self-supportive. The electricity, being water. Everyone says, what about the food? Well, that's where a unique part comes in as well. Anywhere in a country, if you know what you're doing, you can raise food. I can even raise food in Death Valley, which has the hottest temperature in the world, which is 134 degrees. But it's got to be done in a greenhouse environment. And he says, well, no, you can actually get greenhouses tall enough. You know, every 16-foot trees and life in it. There's some that you can buy that are 96-foot long and 40-foot wide. If you know what you're doing, you can produce a lot of food with that. And that said, if you do this correctly through what we call aquaponics, you can raise up to 80 tons, that's two semis now, worth of food in a quarter of an acre of land. That's just for produce. That's not including the fish.
Amazing.
So you're talking now, you got your fruits, you got vegetables, and you got your meat. Okay, what we call ranch, bed, whatever you want to do. You want to do trout, you want to do bass, you want to do whatever, okay? Now, there's one other piece with this, and this is where it gets interesting otherwise. Because everyone says, well, you can't do this, you can't. Well, you can actually raise, I wouldn't recommend Death Valley for chickens and all, but the thing is, if you know what you're doing, you can build yourself a chicken coop and you take it and put exhaust fans, bring one exhaust in, one out, and you can raise your chickens right there almost anywhere. Okay? You can raise cattle almost anywhere, but the only difference is you have to make sure you have somewhere they have water so they can take what we call a dip in there to cool down from time to time.
Okay, now could you back up a minute? I was wondering if we could back up for a minute and explain to the listeners what aquaponics.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I've got my volume up all the way, Keith. Can you hear me? Keith?
I hear you better now.
Make sure the volume's up on your new phone. By the way, folks, Keith's old phone got crashed last night, and it was definitely systematic. And I think the system is really worried about this, people getting on with the self-governing county. It shows that when there's technological interference, it's clearly that's what it is. It's obvious that we're exactly on the right track. And so Keith is talking about the self-governing county and things that you can do within your self-governing county to feed yourself, to govern yourself, to educate your own children. Right on down the whole list of freedom activities. So, Keith, I wanted you used a word called aquaponics, and there may be some of our listeners out there who do not know what aquaponics is. Can you explain it?
Well, aquaponics is simply a greenhouse and having fish in the same deal. And what happens is fish let go of oxygen, which is what the plants need, and the plants release carbon monoxide, which is what the fish need to take and keep swimming and growing and all. So it's a rotating deal. Everyone needs
and
what they need, each other. Okay.
And
first
the fish
thing.
Are producing.
Second thing is,
and the yep. Were you going to go to the fertilizer?
Right. Well, the second thing is you've got eggs you got to get into, you can get into what we call caviar, some people, for the fish, which you can also salvage. But the key thing is that when you grow crops of gardening, especially, some plants put in stuff in the ground and others take out stuff. So you have to figure who, which one's what, and you rotate these out and you make yourself your ground better. Now, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to make everyone drool a little bit, okay? Because, again, I've been there. I lived on a farm myself as a kid, 20-plus years. We raised our own garden, all organic, you know, the whole thing. And I sit down and ask people all the time, how would you like to take one tomato, take a slice off it, and put it on a hamburger? That tomato was at least a minimum of a pound and a quarter. Not gas, real tomato. Got a lot of people, you know, attention real quick, yes. But the other thing we got in a little bit here is the chickens. Our normal average dress out weight, not feathered all, this is after it's been butchered and put in. Last chicken we had when we were on the farm was 8 and a quarter pounds. Average, you normally run around 9 pounds. That's one big bird.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now we're talking about cattle. Cattle normally will dress out around 45%. In other words, 45% of that steer is usable meat. Our last one we took to butcher was 65%. That's better than 20% increase of value of meat alone. So it can be done. It just takes some time to train everyone and teach them how to do it.
Right, and we've gotten away from that since then. One of the prime culprits is the public school system, which has taken,
right.
and because what it allowed, and I've seen it here in upstate New York, it's insidious. They're closing down these perfectly good condition, nice shape, very secure and safe, local, little, small schools. And I don't mean really teeny like a one-room schoolhouse. I mean, you know, not a sprawling prison complex like the modern industrial schooling, but just a nice, you know, with maybe 30 or 40 small classrooms, a one-story building, you know, with a friendly entrance that doesn't have, you know, bars and chains and everything else on it. And they're closing down all these small local schools, and they actually went and spent hundreds of millions of dollars to build a new school here in upstate New York to close down a bunch of perfectly good schools just to get the kids out of their towns and into this consolidated, away from your hometown, farther away from your parents, farther away from the farm, farther away from your future, which is your birthright, which is the land. So once they've shut down all these small local schools and taken the kids to other districts, farther away from home and further, and then seize the title to people's property under these bizarre, absurd, unlawful, nothing more than theft by the state and the bar attorneys, things like Eshiat, which they passed in 1968 under amendment to the Constitution of the State of New York, or the State of New York, which they call the New York State Constitution, as nothing more than a corporate document, and they passed what's called Eshiat, E-C-H-E-A-T, the legal, it's a term, it's in Black's Law, I believe. Look it up in the dictionary. Eshiat is the reversion of property to the state. That means the state comes in and steals it. And they've done that. They've passed amendments to the Constitution, so they think it's okay. Now, I didn't vote for anybody to steal property today. I mean, this is going back to 1968, and it was under the disguise of a protection of a fish species called yellowtail. Yellowtail. It's a fish in upstate New York. I believe it's called yellowtail or yellowfin. Yellowtail, I believe it is. And it's a certain fish, and that they had to protect this fish. And then in the fine print, they slipped in, oh, by the way, we need to hire some more teachers, so we're now going to have to tax your private property. What they didn't tell you is that meant they seized the title, and if you don't pay the taxes, they steal your property. Had nothing to do with the public school system. And what are they doing? They're spending money like they did in Naples, New York, on a new tennis court. As if a school needs a new tennis court to educate the kids. That's how you keep them stupid. Keep them at the gladiator events and don't educate them. So anyway, the self-governing county encourages people to A, homeschool, or B, use a piece of community property for as a common ground of learning, where you don't have a teachers' union and a communist core and all these monitors walking around. In Webster, New York schools, they have a monitor that doesn't monitor the students. It monitors he or she, more of an it, a robotic humanoid, walks around monitoring the teachers, making sure they're all teaching the same thing at the same time in the exact same fashion. And like a communist dictator, like a Soviet commissar, like they do in China, and I don't even know if they do this in China. I'm not positive. I haven't been there. But I would bet you in a lot of places they don't. But in upstate New York, in Webster, they have monitors that monitor the teachers to make sure they're all behaving, teaching in the common core fashion. And it's nothing more than communist core, as I've said before. So this self-governing, and by the way, on aquaponics, which is kind of like a hydroponic system where you can grow plants in the water without dirt, in and amongst the water mingle the fish. And so like Keith was saying, there's an oxygen CO2 exchange between the plant and the fish, and the fish also put out the fertilizer. As they swim around, they're fertilizing that water. So you don't even have to add much in the way of, the whole thing takes care of itself. It's self-sufficient. You don't have to add any fertilizer. The fish provide that as they're swimming around. So it's very important that's a self-sustaining unit right there. If we can supply communities with, if we could encourage communities to go that route, the smaller communities around the country could feed themselves very easily, at any level, at a personal home level or the community level. But in the self-governing county where you're attempting to do things as a team, it's not a place for self-centered people who don't want to get involved and they don't want to have any, this is self-governing county is for people who are really politically aware and want to take charge of their own destiny and make sure their freedom is guaranteed and assured. All the people who are self-centered and withdrawn and want to be left alone and, don't bother me and I don't want to know my neighbors or anything like that. I mean, first, that's not conducive to what happens is the worst, the most evil of people end up infiltrating the governing structures, the local legislators, the sheriff's department, the witch's court, everybody and all the worst people come into government. When everybody says, don't bother me, I don't want to go there, let's not do that, that's too uncomfortable for me, too much risk. People, it's time everybody has to take some risk. Part of living in a free society is risk. You can't legislate safety, that's why we need most of the laws repealed. And you have to take a little risk by being an activist. I can tell you firsthand, there's some risk to activism, but the rewards are great because you end up interacting with other very patriotic, very quality people. That I've met through this radio presence and through the Courtroom Observers, and it really is a kind of a brotherhood, sisterhood of freedom-loving people who are really, really interested in resurrecting the Republic and doing whatever they can to get involved in that. Once again, my favorite thing, if you want a specific mission, I mean, the self-governing county is a little more of a long-term thing. It's a thing that has to be planned out. The land has to be put together. We got a break. Hang with us, people. We'll be back on the other side. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Lori Anderson. She asked me to take over the show this week. I'll do my best to keep the good information flowing. We have Keith Jones from Kansas tonight with us. Keith is an expert on the self-governing county. As much as you can know about anything that we haven't really put in place yet, it's still strictly in it, but it is something that's been historically put in place, just not in recent history. It would be quite a novelty to have a group of people, independent, freedom-loving people, but bind their land together in any shape that it can be, as long as they're touching each other. 2,460 acres, roughly, 4 square miles of land. Not a very huge parcel. If you had 10 people that had, you know, several hundred acres each, or 20 people that had several hundred acres each, and that's not insurmountable. It's entirely doable, entirely possible. It requires being on the same page with your neighbors. And in many of these areas of this country, people are on the same page. In many areas, they're not. Many areas are, leave me alone, don't want to be bothered. And that's not what this is all about. This is all about getting together, being a family in freedom, and working together and actually making it happen to realize and achieve that status as a free man or woman, where you're not going to have to show any license to drive your car around the county, or you're not going to have a hunting permit or any of that other garbage. The only time the peace officers will get involved is when there's an issue of peace being violated. And that's very rare in most communities, especially the smaller ones where people are on the same page.
obviously the balkanized big cities, they're going to have problems. And eventually people are not going to want to live there, and they'll turn into giant ghost towns. You might see that Escape from New York scenario where they just turn it into a giant prison and put a wall around it and have the attorney prostitutes and the banking establishment out of New York City and Albany and Washington, D.C. and London and Rome. Just let them rot. These people in government never produce anything. They never built a house. They never grew a crop. They never wrote a song. I mean, maybe here and there. But they don't live on anything productive. They've never repaired anything, built anything, grown anything, written anything except garbage to control other people's lives. And so I'll stop my complaining and moaning, and let's get back to some solutions. Keith, are you still with us, I hope?
Yeah, I'm still here.
By the way, I wanted to encourage people to call in if they have any thoughts on the self-governing county. We've been talking this past half hour about the agricultural and livestock end of the self-governing county. What would you do to feed yourself if you wanted to be an independent county? You didn't want to rely on China to ship your food. Obviously, you know, lemons and oranges are going to have to come from Florida and California, and there's certain things you're going to have to ship in. But for the most part, communities anywhere in this country can grow their own food, feed themselves, quite a healthy diet of local produce and local livestock. So we've been talking about aquaponics and how to, you know, cattle and yields, how yields can go up in certain circumstances. If you know what you're doing and you work it hard, you can not only feed yourself really well, you can have quite a commodity crop to barter with other counties to get the money to repair the roads and to do the things that you may want some tax dollars for, but absolutely not under any circumstance. I don't care how many damn potholes are in the road. I don't care how many kids have to be educated by their parents. Too bad. Chip in and educate your own kids. Try it sometime. It'll be very rewarding, and the kids will love it. But there is no excuse under which to steal anybody's private property. And I would argue that anybody who's participated in private property seizures under this bizarre tax foreclosure, with this Nazi attitude that, oh, I was ordered to do it, so it's okay. Well, let's not blame the executioner. They're being told to go rip people off, steal somebody, put them out in the freezing cold, destroy their lives. But that's okay because somebody else told them to do it. You got to be kidding me. This is why it's always the executioner that's the most to blame. The order givers can sit there and spit and flap into the wind all they want. And if there's not anybody stupid or immoral or amoral enough to go out and execute those unlawful atrocity orders, you know, it wouldn't happen. So it all comes down to the foot soldier level, and I'm not talking about our military. I'm talking about the domestic tyrants and the thugs in the local police and local and state police departments. And I see it time after time. And I come to find out now it looks like not one New York state trooper in the state is complying with public officers' law. Section 11 and Section 30.1, which not only require a bond, which is an insurance policy, to be filed with the county, or even if they had it with the state, I'd be flexible, at least if they could produce it. And then all Section 30 actually creates the vacancy for the position if they fail to do that in subsection H. I just read it again today. Spent a long time reading up on that. 30.1, subsection H, and Chapter 11 of the Public Officers Law. In New York State, anybody gets a ticket or an encounter with a New York State trooper, the first thing you want to do is file a paper with the court requiring in an evidentiary hearing, motion for disclosure. The officer needs to produce his timely filed oath and bond. The oath is what they take when they're sworn in. It's basically, you know, a piece of paper that says, I swear. And the bond is an insurance policy that they have to go out and get and have to pay big bucks to go pay for, and none of them want to do it. So since nobody's really asking, and you're not going to hear about this in anywhere, how do people know? I was talking about this with somebody today. There's only three places you're going to hear something or learn something in your life. Generally speaking, it's either going to be in the schools, it's either going to be from the media, or it's going to be from family and friends, people you run into around town, associates. Excuse me for a minute. Someone's at my door. Keith, can you take over?
Sure. We're going to pick up on the idea that we can take, for instance, make it even more what you call self-sustainable, is we can actually take and build and put together what we call community greenhouses. And that's where everybody takes and pitches in and helps and does what needs to be done. We're a greenhouse. And plus, under common law, you can still do what we call community service. So when you go through the civil court, you have restitution you have to pay. But on top of that, if you want to, and if the jury thought it'd be worthwhile, they can sit down and say, okay, this person needs to take and add on, you know, $400 or $500 of community service. Be a great way. They feel like they're productive because they're doing something to help everyone else out. They can see the good that they're doing. And at the same time, it's going to help them build their self-confidence and be able to move on with their life. The other thing I was going to touch on is what we need to do, and this is something that's been really toying around my head, is that we need to sit down and start getting people together and sit down and say, okay, where would they like or how can we sit down and help them with this idea of putting together the basics and working together as putting together self-governing counties. Now, there are somewhere around 15 to 20 counties I have found across the country which are not incorporated. I'm sure there's more than that because we have just under 3,100. But I have found 20 of them. And so if people have ideas or suggestions, let's hear, let's find out where they like to, and let's see what we can do together and try to find other people that you may not know that are like-minded with you and see what we can do is to start building the self-governing county. Now, I bring all that up because one of the things we also have to understand is something that what we call the Fourth Continental Congress has never adjourned. Okay? The reason why they could not adjourn because they could not get two-thirds of the quorum of that Congress to adjourn because five of the southern states walked out before they could do their deal to adjourn. Now, all we need to do is get one state, which would be 100% self-governing, and we can reconvene the Fourth Continental Congress and start building this country back. Now, everyone says, well, that's a big undertaking. Well, in some ways it is. Some ways it's not anything big as you would think because we only need two-thirds of the counties for that state. And the easiest way to do that is not going to the big cities of like New York or whatever, but find the smaller counties and work with them, the people, because they're a lot more open to hear and discuss and see how they can help things if you do it correctly. And then what happens, you get two-thirds of the counties and, well, sorry, Charlie, I guess if you got two choices, either you can come and join us or you can split off and form your own state. But I will assure you, as you build this thing, that people are going to find out in the bigger cities what's going on, and they'll be willing to do what they can to help out as well. Again, it's one of the situations where we have to show the first county will work, and from there and build it. And everyone says, well, where's your example? Well, that's another good part. There's actually a city over in Australia that is not part of the crown that is what we call a self-governing city. Been around for about 10 years. Been very successful. People love it. The problem is that the crown has been fighting with them in the cities all the way around them. So they're not being able to expand it. But it is, there is truly a self-governing city over there. There were three or four here up to just around 2000, actually. But the people that were there were never taught how to make it and keep it a self-governing county. And so the corporation was able to come in and finally take it over and make their towns incorporated. So we've had some self-governing counties and cities in this country. It's just not something that's been really talked about because it goes against every grain that the corporation has for us and what they've been teaching us. I've shared with several people, we're going to have to go in and, for instance, our history books, for both this U.S. History as well as the world history, and go rechange them all. Because all they've been taught is in there is all corporation stuff that don't have any of the true background and history of this country or anything to do with most of the world history. So there's another area that we'll have to tap into and work with it again. And that's why it's so important for us to have what we call the school and teach, have our self-governing and teach our own, take back our own schools and teach what should be really taught. And that's why back then, or what we've seen, is that they don't have teachers, they have school moms, and they work with the students from there and build them from there. And you can do whatever you want to put in schools. Again, you can have all your sports and everything, but it just, it makes it a different environment where the kids try to get along with each other. And also, one of the other things that will be nice is we get away from a lot of the crime, because it's the fact that everyone is trying to do what they can to work together and make the county better as overall, and not as just, you know, we don't know who our neighbors are, so we don't care. And so there's just a lot of parts of this that actually will improve people's lives overall. So,
excellent.
You want to say
excellent.
Something, Eric?
Yeah, you got to love it. Great presentation. I don't think you ever told me about the, you may have, but I just didn't remember about the model town in Australia that's already, or the city that's already working as a self-governing entity. We have a couple of callers. Who do we have on the line, Mike? Mark in North Carolina, will take you first, my friend. How's it going? What are your thoughts on what we're talking about or anything else?
Doing great, my friend. I hope you are. I know you've been under a lot of stress, but you got to understand God has a plan. God is in control, so, you know, all things work for good for those who love the Lord. So we'll see how God works through all this. See,
amen.
And it was kind of talked about since I've been on the line, but I was curious about how one would actually form this county, self-governing county. I guess, am I correct in that it would have to be started in an unincorporated county, and somehow
I just brought up the unincorporated ones because those are the easy ones to do, because most of the people are not incorporated, and then it gives us a lot more authority to walk in and do what we need to do. We can still do incorporated. It's still all the same principle how we do it, okay? And basically what you need is to try to initially find, you need what we call 3 to 5 people to do and build up what we call the Committee of Correspondents. Okay, they're the ones who help write the charter for the county. Okay, now, that doesn't mean that the rest of the county is left out. No. But those are the ones who set up the basic idea of the charter. Now, the charter is, for a better lack of better words, is a working document like a business plan. Okay? Where you're making a statement that you're taking over this county and making it self-governing, and, you know, you go through the some basic work. Then you sit down and decide, you know, one of the things that I talk about quite often is you can get rid of Islam, you can get all the illegal immigrants. Those are all things you can put in your charter. If you have, people from the federal government come in, like Jay Hill. You have a constitutional sheriff. Fine, you have 2 choices. Either you can leave or you come here, and our constitution allows us, or not constitution, but our charter allows, if you're coming in here where you're not welcome, we can try you and charge you with crimes. Okay, because the sheriff is the one that runs the county, not the federal government. The county is the sheriff's. Okay, and so with that, you just start building it and start, and then you take and figure out your initial. You don't have to have everything in there. You just have the basic working of it, because like I said, it's a working business plan. You sit down and you submit that to the Secretary of State. You make sure in there that they have 7 days to notify you, let you know that they yes or no to it. If they don't, then you have full rights to turn and turn into a self-governing county, and you start building from there. and then people wanted to sit down and add different laws, or you can take the laws that are have been infringed upon you from the county or whatever. You can now avoid those, and you can actually take and rebuild resolutions for particular laws that you'd like for your county. And that has to do, you have to submit those so people can see them. Take 45 days, and then you take and you can discuss them, and then you can take and vote on them. And then you take that resolution to the three people who usually you'll find who are the commissioners, which is a different group of people. And then from there, you can take and those, you have X amount of time for them to activate that piece of law. Now, the flip side of this yet is that you have to put together the common law for the trial in the courts. And that's about 100 people you need to put together because you've got both grand jury and jury and judges and all the pieces that take the part and all that. So you need about 100 people to do all that as well. So overall, you probably need about 150 people altogether. But it can be built from the ground little by little by little by little. You don't have to build and have a jury right off the bat. You can have just build it, stop governing and build from there.
And all right, within,
my friends,
so
I appreciate that.
Yeah, caller, it doesn't have to be necessarily your whole county as it sits right now. You can peel out that 4 square miles and make your own county out of within right. that entity. So it's you can work with whatever you got as far as the private property totaling 4 square miles.
Yeah.
Okay, wouldn't there be some pushback from the existing county that you're trying to take their land from them somehow? Seems like that wouldn't go over really well.
Well, they're going to sit down and say yes. Granted, that's why we want to do the unincorporated ones, because the unincorporated ones, they don't have any say. There's nothing to run them. Now, the one incorporated, they're going to sit down and might say something, but the point still boils down to this is where if the people in the town who are built this thing and started, the law, it's a matter of using laws against them that they've used for us all their lives. Excuse me. Eric was talking about the bond. Okay, if a police officer does not have a bond, I don't care if you stub your toe, you can turn around and sue them personally for being stubbed that toe. And they have nothing to go back. So they have to pay that out of their pocket because they don't have a bond to cover that particular problem.
Okay? Well,
the second thing is when a police officer walks up to you, he's impersonating a police officer and he's impersonating a government official. That's two cases of fraud right off the bat.
Well, and that reasoning applies to the entire corporate government in an incorporated county. You have recourse to say, well, you're a corporation. You have no lawful authority here in a self-governing county.
Right.
You just got to basically assert your sovereignty and set it up come what may. And if we bind together enough as people, we've showed at several different instances throughout history that the people will reclaim their freedom. How long we keep it is another matter, because the tyranny always comes leeching back in out of the usual suspects. Go ahead, caller.
I was just going to say if you did it the right way and provide a good example, the first one, that could really catch fire. That could really take off if people saw like that working.
Okay, Well, let me throw this up for you. Okay, when you take and you go into law or in a court for speeding, for instance, okay, you're in criminal court. Okay, first thing their law says, the reason why you should be in criminal court if you have a physically bodily injured person. Now explain to me how there can be a bodily injured person if all you're doing is picked up for speeding. It can't.
That's all
it can't because you can't.
Okay. Let's throw another piece of this part. Let's go back to your police officer when he gives you a ticket. Okay? And he sit down and say, well, that looks like an awful lot of charges. Do you think I should have legal counsel with me when I go to court? Well, I think it might be a good idea, you should. Whatever he says, something like that, thanks, you just made your ticket now and void because he's practicing law without a license. And let's take it one step farther, just for fun. Do you realize that under the law's 13th Amendment, I call it, it talks about bankers and lawyers, it states very clearly in there, if you're holding down a public office and you're an attorney, you cannot be compensated for that office. That's called racketeering extortion.
Boy, yeah, that sounds like a racket. That sounds like a racket they got going on.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you know the laws, you can use them. All you need to do is have more than one yourself. If you have four or five people walk up with you, they're going to sit down and think twice.
There you go.
Because they they may take one on, but they're not going to take four or five of you on at one time, because that means they don't have that kind of power in the courtroom.
Well, how about four?
That's fine. I don't care how many. The point is, you want to keep pushing, you can sit down and say, okay, I not have a bodily injury person that needs, this has to go to civil court. Okay? Which I have no problem. Because the only person that can hear my case under civil court is the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. So when he's here, I'll be happy to make myself available.
Right.
No judge, no district, just the Secretary of the Department of Treasury Transportation is the only person that can hear your case.
I'll tell you, knowledge is power.
Yeah. And I will take one comment back to you when you first got online. You were talking about, there's a song, and there's two of them. I don't know if you ever heard a gentleman named Ron Cannoli, but he does a song off an album, and the song, the first two are not right at the beginning of the album, but in that album, is one where it talks about we're making war in the heavenlies, and the second one is I'm possessing, I'm taking what back is mine.
That's what I get
every day. When I sit down and start getting frustrated, I go back to those two, and I'm sitting down saying, yes, only the strong will survive.
Yep, I'm old enough to remember that song. I'll tell you, we all keep the faith. I don't want to hold the line too much, but God bless y'all, and keep the faith, man. Trust in God. He's got a plan through all this. You know, it's
you want to do some networking with Eric and myself, let Mike have your number, and we'll get to you and sit down and chat otherwise if you don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. He might have my number if he's got caller ID.
Okay.
But yeah, if you send me back to the board if you want.
Yeah, just stay on the line. We're about to come to a break in a minute. Mike on the board, don't be afraid to turn that music up nice and loud so I know we're going to a break, because sometimes I can't hear it and I end up talking right into the break. But and I don't want to do that. But anyway, caller, thanks a lot. Hang on. Get your number to Mike. We'll add you to the network of people who are interested in learning more about this. And this is how we do it as a large unit of patriotic, freedom-loving people. And this is how we get her done. That was the whole concept behind Courtroom Observers, is go in as a team, as a unit, 40, 50, 60, 70 people. They always give in. It's just a matter of when. Thanks. Stay with us till the next hour. We're coming right back after a few messages. Eric Cifrino, Screamer on the RBN Network.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.